Welcome to the first episode of season two of the Multiply podcast. My name is Sarah Brown, and with me is Carla Braun from the MB Herald and Carson Sampson from MBCM. And we are here, brand new, back again, and we've had some discussions about what we want to do this second season.
We're looking to open it up a little bit. We want to get beyond the four walls of the boardroom and try experimenting with some new things, meeting some new people, maybe bring some more voices into a given episode. And so we're starting off with Carson Sampson taking a tour of inner city Winnipeg along with Jim Wiseman. So that's what you're going to hear today, some exciting stories, a bit of raw audio, and in the future we're looking to go a little bit further afield, maybe even beyond the borders of Manitoba.
You seldom see Walls of Freedom Ministries pastor Jim Wiseman in anything but a tracksuit. It's become part of his signature dating back to his days as a military reconstructor, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Even in those days, Jim had a heart for the community, so much so it was recognized by the monarchy. Photographer Tony Schellenberg and I dropped by Walls of Freedom on March 24th, 2017, to shadow Jim as he took us through a day in his life and give us a tour of Winnipeg's downtown core. The community service plaque signed by Queen Elizabeth that hung behind his desk was the first thing we noticed.
Elizabeth came to, she came to visit Canada, and I was in Moose Jaw at the time. And she wanted to find out if there was anybody in the community that was working with community people. And I was told them what we were doing and working with kids after I worked and did park things and all kinds of stuff in the community. She signed my plaque. That's her signature. Wow. She signed my plaque to honor what I was doing in the community with the kids and helping them out. And so, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was a good experience.
No kidding.
Jim and wife Jackie formed Walls of Freedom on March 23rd, 2007, 10 years and a day to the date of our visit. I asked Jim how the ministry came into being.
Before we did that, I was in the North End. I planted the church in the North End on Burroughs Avenue. It's now called Springs Inner City. Before they took it over, it was called Restoration House Outreach. And I ran that with my first wife for 16 years. She passed away with cancer. Mm-hmm. Jackie knew her. Jackie was working with me at the time and helping out with kids and home visitation. So we started seeing a lot of families from this area that were going across the bridge, and we decided to come over and visit them. So we found out there was such a need in this area. So the senior pastor at that church, he didn't want to expand. He didn't want to support what we wanted to do. And so we said, okay. So we prayed about it. And my first wife passed away, and I talked to Jackie, and she said, well, I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. Well, she not only helped me out, we got married, but we moved over here. And for the first 4 and a half years, we rented, and I'll show you later when we go on a tour, we rented community centers and we rented gymnasiums, and it was a challenge. But we moved all over the place.
All right.
And then we were able to get this building. We moved in here in October of 2012.
And so you have a partnership with C2C, correct?
Yes.
And is that right from the get-go, or did that come about partly through?
And
tell me a little bit how that worked out.
Well, we were connected with Elton. It was Elton. I knew Elton. Elton used to go to Springs Church many years ago, and then he planted that church on Henderson Highway, the
Christian Family Center.
And we connected with him there, and then the next thing you know, he resigned from that church and ended up going to the MB conference, and we connected, and he said, you know what, we need to help you out. I said, okay, what do you got in mind? So he connected me with C2C Network, and they were able to help me out with getting this building. They were just an incredible blessing to get us on track.
And that was about when? Was that around 2012?
That was in 2012, yeah. November of 2012.
Were you working with Ewald at that point?
I met him at that point. Yeah. And then we connected with him. He's on our board. He's our board member, one of our board members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Planting a church in one of Winnipeg's most impoverished neighborhoods hasn't been easy for the Wisemans.
It's been a challenge. Yeah. This area is very, very broken, and I'll show you in the tour after we go. A number of the churches that are now closed down, their bingo halls, their business areas, a lot of the people don't want to. That's one of the reasons why the guy that was here moved out because I'll show you after, but in our congregation on Sunday, we have anywhere between 80 and 100 people show up. Mm. And we got gang members sitting on the seats. We got prostitutes sitting in the front seats. But I do know since 1967, there were 37 churches closed their doors. And we'll show some of them when we go on a tour. Yeah. They closed their doors. It's just unbelievable. And the 90% of the churches that I know of that closed their doors, they left because of that reason. People moved to the suburbs or they didn't want to sit next to a prostitute. And if you don't know how to work with these youth, you're not going to send your youth to this youth group. The normal suburban churches don't have that in their auditorium, you know. But we've got a lot of impoverished people, a lot of hurting people. But if you're going to have church life just in the suburbs, as my wife and I have experienced with tours across Canada, our inner cities are a mess. And because people can't generate some energy to move into the inner city and love on these people and encourage them. We're full every Sunday. Our drop-ins during the week, our March break coming up next week, we're open every day in the morning for breakfast and we have kids' games and stuff. We'll be full every day. We do a lot of things that are traditional. We do offerings, although our offerings are not very big. Mm-hmm. We have prayer time after service and people come up to the altar for prayer. We do communion and people participate. And then after the service, we go downstairs and we do kids' crafts and we'll show you later, but we have a hot meal every Sunday. And they love it. And that kind of embraces how we can gather with people and not just feed them, but get to know them and hand out daily devotions. We have daily devotions that we hand out every month. We give out anywhere between 175 and 200 daily devotions every month and free Bibles. And it helps. It's an atmosphere where we can build relationships.
Do you have any other support team or leadership team that helps?
We have Abundant Life Baptist Church that help us. They'll be there Sunday cooking the meal. We have Kilcona Park Alliance, Church of the Rock, Gateway Community send a music team every other week. Mm-hmm. And we also are really blessed by the Soar Heartland teams that come. But we network with other churches because, again, if we're going to clean up this mess, we can't just isolate ourselves and say, oh, well, we're MB, we're Pentecostal, whatever the label is. We can't just, we got to work together. Right now we're networking with, the last count was 23 churches in the city. And they love sending youth groups. They love sending, we have a women's group coming from, I think it's Elm Creek.
Lately, Walls of Freedom has run into some bad luck and faced considerable financial burdens. A series of unforeseen events and circumstances leads to a handful of hefty repair bills, and Jim isn't exactly sure where he'll find the money to pay for it all.
We had a major flood upstairs last year. One of the pipelines broke, and we came in here, and the entire office area, I'll show you, that was all flooded. Mm-hmm. Thank God we had insurance to cover that. But there's some other areas that have happened now since that insurance package is okay, but they don't cover certain things like our elevator needs repairs. We have another water line that broke upstairs. I shut the main line upstairs in the bathroom. We have some interest groups that said they're going to come and help us out, but they haven't shown up yet. And right now, one of the dilemmas we have with some of the repairs that we need outside of insurance coverage is we just don't have enough money in our budget to get them done.
How much money do you think you need?
Right now, we're looking at with the roof, some of the roof repairs, some of the furnace repairs, and the elevator. We're looking at anywhere between $15,000 and $25,000. I'm not sure. I know the elevator is going to be really expensive because all the wiring in the three floors have got to be replaced.
So $25,000.
At least $25,000 would cover it all.
Another thing that we'd spoken about a little while ago was a Hutterite group that had promised to do some help. Is that materialized?
It has, to some degree. Yeah. As far as resources are concerned, they're an incredible blessing with their hogs and their chickens. And
wonderful.
But they haven't confirmed yet when they're going to come and do the repairs on the plumbing and stuff and electrical.
So that's what they agreed to do, right? Some electrical and plumbing repair?
Yes.
And how did they find out about it, and how did they come to speak to you about it?
I was at Mission Fest. I do a display at Mission Fest every year at Church of the Rock. They have a big display there, and we have a table set up, and they came, and they were checking out all the different missions, and they saw us, and they asked what we're doing, and I told them, and they said, okay, we like this. So about a week later, they phoned me up, and they said, we need to come for a visit. So they came here for a visit, and they're really intrigued, so That's how that happened.
That chance encounter with the Hutterite colony was an answer to prayer. If it works out, it will relieve some of the burden. But on the whole, Jim has been feeling the sting of a loss of support from once faithful donors. His desk is lined with appeal newsletters ready for mailing.
We have a lot of supporters, as our newsletters are going out here this week. We have a lot of supporters that are helping us with $20, $50, $100. Mm-hmm. It all adds up. But in the last 6 months, we have lost a lot of our supporters.
Okay.
Some of them have moved. Some of them just, oh, we don't want it. And I'm not being critical, but that's the way it is with some people, the way mm-hmm. they think, oh, you're hanging out with those MB guys now. Okay. They can support you. And when I try and contact them in a personal way, how come you're not supporting us anymore? Well, you're with the MB conference now. Hmm. And so I'm not upset, but come on, church, let's clean up our act here. We've got to work together to clean this up. And if you only want to work with one church, you're not going to do it.
Should we take a tour?
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
We got two washrooms here, male and female, and this is where we gather with the congregation. And when we moved in here, there was nothing here. We got these benches from the Chinese Alliance. We got all these green chairs we got donated from Kilcona Park Alliance. They were buying new chairs. And we got various other churches, Anglican churches and other churches that gave us that stuff. So it's kind of a unique setting here. But it's full every Sunday. We're packed up every Sunday. We have anywhere between 70 and 85 people here. We're packed every Sunday, you know. And they sit and listen. The praise and worship team, they'll sit and listen and talk and interact. And all of a sudden, they'll just, you know, come up for prayer. They want prayer for different things. And we love on them and encourage them. And then we go downstairs and have a nice meal.
Jim takes us upstairs to a youth room that's lined with board games. Hand-me-down athletic equipment and two not-so-flat televisions take up most of the small space. Walls are adorned with old-time hockey plaques and hand-drawn portraits and landscapes. The drawings are no different than those that line the schools and churches in the suburbs. Pictures of young women in pretty dresses and makeup. Pictures of their families, places they've been or would like to someday visit.
Yeah, this is our youth room.
It's a great spot.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, they come up here, play games, and interact, and get on the computer games and play games, and we interact with them up here, and then we take them downstairs for a little snack later on in the evening. But this place is full every Friday. We're here tonight.
Tony and I are going to play some Connect Four before we leave.
There you go. And the only problem with this, it's really too small. In the summertime, we'll show you downstairs, but we have a big side yard. We have a huge side yard, and we usually use that for playing soccer and basketball. We've got a basketball hoop out there, but we have a guitar there. We plug it in, and they hammer away with it. Yeah. These plaques on the wall, NHL hockey plaques?
Yep.
I got those donated from the old hockey rink in St. James before the Winnipeg Jets even came to town. They were in the old arena, so I collected them. I had them in my garage for years in a box.
Quebec Nordiques. Minnesota North Stars, a couple teams that aren't even around nowadays.
Exactly. These pictures on the wall are pictures that the kids draw, the youth.
Yep.
It's an image of what they're going through, or, you know, when you talk to them about why they're drawing pictures of girls. Oh, we like to look like that when we get older. And, you know, just interesting comments. But we get along great with them up here. They interact, they share things with us that they don't normally share.
Mm-hmm.
Ages, it fluctuates between ages. We have a limit. You got to be 11 or older. But most of our youth are ages 12 to 17, somewhere in there.
Jim showed us the broken down elevator.
And this here is the major headache here. It's not open right now. It's locked. So our elevator has got wiring and stuff that needs to be repaired. Yeah, the city... I've got to get back together with them sometime in July at the latest, because all the wiring's got to be replaced, and it's going to cost thousands of dollars to fix that.
It's not simple enough as packing it in here and finding a new place, because there's probably no new place, and it's probably astronomically more expensive to buy a new property than it would be to fix repairs.
No, it wouldn't be worth it. I can guarantee you that if we were to sell this and buy another building, you're probably looking at twice the package, maybe just as much repairs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the buildings in this area that were that sold. I know some of the businesses that bought them, and they had to spend a lot of money repairing them.
It's not an option. It just doesn't make sense.
No. And we're quite satisfied with our numbers, and if we're not saying yet, but if it happens where we have to have two services on Sunday, we'll have two services on Sunday.
We're in the right place. The building's smack dab in the community you want to be in.
I'll show you across the street. We'll drive here. I'll show you across the street where this building is. There's 147 low rentals, and 95% of the people that live there are impoverished. They're low income or living on welfare. It's not good. Okay, let's go for a little drive.
We
jumped in the Walls of Freedom outreach van and circled the neighborhood. I've lived in Winnipeg for more than 20 years. I'd worked downtown on Main Street for a few years, so I assumed I knew the city fairly well. But when it came to Winnipeg's core, I knew very little at all. Jim knows every square inch of the core. Clearly, he spends a great deal of time on these streets. He and Jackie are embedded in the community. Every house, every building had a story.
We have a massive home visitation program on our home visitation list. This used to be Kennaway Housing, Manitoba Housing, and they sold it to the federal government last year, and they tore it all apart, and it's now got 67 immigrants living in there, 67 immigrant families living in there. We'll drive by when we close it. That school over here in the corner, Dufferin School, we use that in the summertime for our carnivals and stuff. This place across the street has a huge, to my left, has a huge swimming pool. In the summertime, we'll rent it and have water baptisms right here. Community baptismal services, we have them announced through our church services. Now, these places here are very impoverished. They're very, very, they cleaned up some of the signs, but a lot of these buildings were tagged by gang members. I'll show you a house over here on the left. A young fellow was shot a couple of years ago. He was in a gang. He wandered out of the gang, and anyway, he didn't like staying in the gang. You can see, if you look very closely, you can see some of the holes in the cement.
Mm-hmm.
The gang members came by and shot up the house, and he happened to get a bullet shot and killed him right here. So that's part of the atmosphere in this community. Right here on my left was a world famous, and I think it still is, a gang house right here. Classy place. But many of the churches that were in this area are no longer here. This building here, right here on the left-hand side, is a seniors complex. In the summertime, we'll come over here and we usually organize it and have flyers put out. We'll do a barbecue here. And the place is packed. The barbecue area is packed.
Community people and seniors?
Mostly seniors from the building. We advertise just for seniors from the building here.
Mm-hmm.
But they really enjoy it. They enjoy the time.
St. Andrew's Place, correct?
Yep. This area here is part of the Kennaway Housing. All together with what I showed you on the other side, there's over 160 families living in this area. And 95% of them are living in impoverished homes. They're just unbelievable situations. We have, the last count, we have 1,760 families on our home visitation list. We don't visit them as much as we used to.
1,760?
Yeah, families on our home visitation list.
It's a lot of visits. How do you manage it?
We don't do it all ourselves.
So who helps?
We have volunteers that help. So we visit a lot of the homes, and when they come to church service, we get them to sign in. They don't have a problem with that, mm-hmm. because they know that we go to the homes and interact with them. But my summation on this area is that a lot of the people in this area, you know, there's a lot of broken relationships, broken dreams. But you know what?
you gotta accept them the way they are and stop labeling them. And, you know, like you see them on the streets, you see them doing their thing, and they're not losers. We meet some people that come in to our building, just unbelievable testimonies. This school ground here, we rent this school ground every year in June for a big carnival. We have our Love Winnipeg Carnival. And last year in this field here, with all the setup we had with the barbecues and the music stuff and kids' games, we had over 500 people show up.
So what's a normal day in your life look like? You spend a bit of time in the office maybe,
a bit of time in the office, then I do resource pickup. I have, sometimes I get emergencies. I gotta go to later on today, I gotta go to Headingley. I gotta visit a young guy in jail. I do prison visits. And then tonight we have the team come in for the youth group tonight. Saturday, I usually take Saturday off. And then Sunday, we have our set up for our church service at 3. And I take Monday off. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are quite busy. I'll show you this one last house down here. A couple of years ago, we had a Christmas party at our building, a Ladies' Day party at our building. We had this young guy show up, and he was sitting on the doorstep, and I went up and talked to him. I said, "We're having a Ladies' Day." I said, "It's just for ladies today." He was sitting there, and the next thing you know, he started crying. I led him to the Lord. I drove him out of the area, and I said, "What's happening?" He was in a gang, and he was a donkey, trafficking drugs. And this is the house he lived in, right here. Yeah, that's where he lived. And he came up here to the doorstep. I led him to the Lord, and drove him to his sister's place, way up in the Maples area. I haven't seen him since.
After the tour, we spent a few minutes taking photos outside the Outreach Center. We'd seen and heard a lot that day, but I had one more question for Jim. I wanted to know what kept him going, day after day. More, I wanted to know where, amidst all the brokenness, he saw the beauty in his community.
I find the beauty in all this by just being obedient to what the Lord put out of my heart many years ago, to go and sit amongst the captives and give them the word of the Lord. It might take some time. I don't get consumed with looking at results, positive results every day. I get consumed with the Word of God, letting God speak to my heart. Okay, what is it I'm going to say to them today, God, and give them a message that's going to inspire them. As Ezekiel did, he sat amongst the captives for 40 years before he turned the nation upside down. I'm hoping it's not going to take that long, but whatever time it takes, it's up to the Lord. But every day I'm just responsible to the positive thing is to be obedient to God's Word, and to give them the message that God's put on my heart and share it with them and let them make a choice if they want to have good life.
God bless you, Jim. Thank you for doing the good work.
Thank you.
The Multiply Podcast is brought to you by Mennonite Brethren Church of Manitoba, MB Mission, and MB Herald. And before we go and call it a day, I'd like to give each of us an opportunity just to fill us in on what's going on in each of our areas right now. Carla, do you want to talk a little bit about the Herald?
Why, certainly. We're excited to be bringing you some content from the recent ICOM consultation that happened in Thailand at the beginning of March. Leaders from MB churches all around the world, I believe it was 35 countries, but I could be mistaken on that, gathered in Thailand and talked about what it means to be on mission together.
And with MB Mission, we just wrapped up our Soar Heartland program, which is a 9-day discipleship program for youths to pretty much be educated about the city that they live in. There's groups from all over Manitoba that come, learn about the inner city, serve in their city, and spend time worshiping and praying and doing spiritual development. And it was a really, really great time that we are now recovering from. It just ended on Saturday. And now looking ahead, our Trek program is going to be starting next month. Our Discipleship on Mission Gap Year program, those students get back this Saturday, I believe, from Thailand. And then we'll be debriefing with them. And our action program starts up in July. So there's lots of transition and lots of programs starting and ending and lots of good stuff going on right now.
Sounds like everybody's really busy. And for us, we just came off a busy time too. just last month in March, we had our assembly, which is probably the largest event we hold in a year. That's a gathering of all of our churches and congregations. And so there's some reporting and some celebrating and just a building of community. This year was pretty special for us. We welcomed 19 new ministries, many of them from different cultures and specifically some indigenous ministries that are emerging and starting to gather and grow. And we tried to highlight that as best we can. We incorporated on the Friday night service hoop dancers and drummers, and it was altogether a very different setting than what we're probably typically used to for our assemblies. It was really amazing to see it. Just a great time of celebration. It's really exciting. You can read about that on our website too, mbcm.ca. And I guess currently we're revving up for another event. Our second biggest event of the year for us is a pastor's retreat, where we give pastors, spouses, and pastor teams an opportunity to just get away and enjoy some time to themselves and to sort of be renewed and relinquish some of the things that they do on a day-to-day and spend time focusing on their own well-being. That's next month at the end of May. So that's about it for us, and we'll be back in no time with a brand new episode. Thanks for listening.
The sun breaks the night.